Happy hump day, everybody. Thanks for joining us as always. It is much appreciated. A 90-minute edition of Cattles and Rami today, which means Rami's feeling really good.
Yes, sir. We got a jam-packed 4 hours of show into a 90-minute bag. Let's go.
And you're getting ready for an open mic tonight. I mean, this is big stuff.
Go watch the Kings game with our guy Verlad.
Yeah, you're going to hang out with Verlad. Going to hang out with Simone.
Simone might
and
come
Jay.
Out. JJ, you coming out too? I was just going to say.
Oh, please, Rami, you didn't even invite me. I feel like Nick Cattles now.
I wasn't the ringleader.
I don't see what Cattles was talking about.
I was just about to say, is Jay coming? I was just about to say, you beat me to it. All come right. on, man.
Mm.
We had a great time a couple weeks ago, did we not?
Hang Nick, out. I see you now, brother. I feel your energy now, sir. I got you.
Wow.
On the outside. Wow. Looking in.
Just because I didn't take the king side in the Holy Honest thing Nick, yesterday. All right. Nick, I see how it is.
Nick on the outside cattles
wow.
here. Nick on the outside cattles.
Wow.
Right. Can add double J to that now, Nick.
Wow.
Nick and JJ on the outside looking in. There it is.
Matter of fact, Nick, I want to invite you, and I'm not inviting Rami.
Literally, the words were just coming out of my mouth. Is Jay coming too? And now I'm the bad guy. All right, okay.
I can't be too upset about this one because I will be headed to the airport to leave for Vegas tonight.
Well, look
so
at
I,
you.
I can't be too broken hearted. It's all right. So JJ and I will meet up in Vegas. We'll send you all the pics. Make y'all jealous about that.
See, nobody invited me for that.
Me too.
Nobody was like, hey, we're going to be in Vegas this weekend. You should come too, Rami. Am I offended?
You want to know what Rami did?
Sounds like a fun time.
You want to know what Rami did? Rami booked a vacation in Vegas the week after I leave.
Typical Rami.
Yeah, typical Mackle. Nothing new here. Nothing new.
The boss asked us not to take the same days off.
Yeah, blame the boss.
And by the way, for anybody else, next weekend, not this coming, but next weekend in Vegas, very cheap for some reason. Is it because
this week is through the
it's
roof?
It's post-peak.
NCAA tourney, right. man.
Tourney's still going to be going next. Yeah, St. Paddy's Day,
paying
too.
Stuff through my nose
yeah,
this
that's
week.
That's true. Oof. No, super cheap. Vegas, super cheap
my
next
goodness.
Weekend, folks.
Anyway.
PSA from your boy.
Rami had this prediction going back to yesterday when we talked about Aaron Rodgers being on the Pat McAfee show.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought, Rami, that he would not make any kind of announcement.
I said nothing of substance.
And at first, it sounded like Rami was going to be right. Here was Rodgers with McAfee earlier today.
Coming on the show was never going to be to announce, I'm retiring or I'm coming back or blah, blah, blah. This is more just to tell you exactly the state of affairs where we sit today on March 15th, because there have been a lot of changes.
So you listen to that, you go, no announcement, here we go.
You go, this dude.
But then he said, well, I'm days past this or days past that. And I thought to myself, and I said this, we were actually on the call, the show meeting this morning. We were on the call this morning, and I was kind of reading through the tweets as we were on the call to keep everybody abreast as to what he was saying. And when he said that, I was like, well, if he already made the decision, then he wants to be a Jet. Because if he was going to retire, he'd say, I'm going to retire.
Right.
If he was going to stay in Green Bay, I'm going to stay in Green Bay. The fact he said he made his decision but did not get specific about the decision, I said to myself, he's got to be going to the Jets, which led to Rodgers then eventually officially dropping the bomb.
At this point, as I sit here, I think since Friday, I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I haven't been holding anything up at this point. It's been compensation that the Packers are trying to get for me and kind of digging their heels in. So I would just, I think it is interesting at this point to step back and look at the whole picture. My side, love and appreciation, gratitude for everything that Green Bay has done for me. Love, so much love and gratitude and just heart open for the Packer fans.
Hell yeah.
And what it meant to be their quarterback. And also the reality of the situation, it is what it is. The Packers would like to move on. They've let me know that in so many words. They've let other people know that in direct words. And because I still have that fire and I want to play and I would like to play in New York, it's just a matter of, getting that done at this point.
I like Pat McAfee in there. Simone said this on YouTube too. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. That was – okay, I was wrong for starters when I said nothing of substance. But, man, this guy, this Aaron Rodgers guy, he continues
– look at this guy.
This guy, Aaron Rodgers, he continues to – and, hey, man, I'm not saying I like everything he does, everything he says. Most of it doesn't rub me the wrong way or bother me as much as it does other people. He continues to put on a masterclass in how to use the media to your advantage, and specifically one media outlet in the Pat McAfee show where he can go on basically anytime he wants and say whatever he wants, and they're going to do nothing but boost him up and support him. And what he did right there, quite simply, was put the pressure on the Packers. First of all, put the blame on the Packers.
Yep.
They told people they don't want me, so I guess I don't want to be where I'm not wanted. And then saying flat out, the Packers have dug their heels in on trade negotiations, basically saying everything else is figured out. The Packers don't want me. I don't want them. The Jets want me. We've worked out that whole contract restructure, if that was something that needed to be done before the deals happen. The only thing, the only people getting in the way of this thing right now, Packers fans, Jets fans, everybody who wants this thing to be over, the only thing getting in the way right now is the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
I want to play for the Jets. Other than that, all I can do is sit here and wait like the rest of you.
I agree with you. And as insufferable as he is, which we'll get into a little bit here, because I find him to be incredibly insufferable. But aside from that, he does have good reason for doing what he does today, because, as you said, Rami, he is able to orchestrate the message. He is able to get his side out, and he will paint certain things. He will frame certain things in favor of himself to make himself look better. And he's using the leverage that he has with the Pat McAfee show to put that pressure on the Packers. Now, as far as the Jets, look, this is an all-in gamble. They're so far down the road, you can't turn this down now. If the Packers all of a sudden in the 23rd hour want two first-round picks, three, you've got to give it up, because you can't walk away now from Rodgers. The entire fan base, the media in New York, everybody's running around like it's Mardi Gras about this acquisition.
Yeah, but what leverage do the Packers have? Like, they have zero leverage in this whole thing. And that's how I'm looking at it if I'm the
Jets. They'll just say, we'll hold on to him.
And so, but then he comes back and he's just a headache for
so
you.
So they can, yeah, but they can hold on to, they can hold on to Rodgers without much ramification until like September. There's something in his contract that they intentionally put in there in case this happened. So they, even if they're going to trade Rodgers to the Jets inevitably, they could still be jerks about it if they want. Mm-hmm. Now, I would not do that. I got to do what's best for my team, trade them, get the assets, go into the draft knowing what you have. But if they wanted to play games, they could push this thing until September and make life miserable. So this is now, the Jets are all in the Aaron Rodgers business. They've got to hope that he plays great football. They've got to hope that he stays healthy. They've got to hope that he stays there in New York for more than 1 year, or else this is a Super Bowl or bust kind of situation. If you're the 49ers, you're smiling. If you're the AFC East, woo, the AFC East just got that much tougher. Meanwhile, Rodgers.
I almost flew my Bears flag off the balcony today, Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I could see it.
The reign of Rodgers. Oh.
I could see it. And also, you know, aside from talking football and all that stuff, Rodgers was also the Rodgers we expect him to be. Here he was talking about the retreat.
When I came out of the darkness, something changed. I'm not exactly sure what that was, but something changed. I got back to my phone after 5 days off of it, you know, because your phone's not on the entire time. There's no Wi-Fi on that, you know, hippie mountain. And when I got back to that little shack they have where there's a, you know, one bar of Wi-Fi, and got back to text messages and emails and all different things, I realized that there'd been a little bit of a shift, and that I heard from multiple people that I trust around the league, players mostly, that there was some shopping going on. They were interested in actually moving me. At this point, you know, I got to admit, I went in the darkness, 90% retiring, 10% playing. That's where my mind was. My mind was, I'm tired of this. I hadn't got back into my workouts yet. I thought that was what was best for me.
He's such a weird dude, man. When I went into the darkness,
I felt it. I felt a shift.
He sounds like Batman.
When I went into the darkness, there was one single lonely bar of Wi-Fi. This guy.
When I rose from the darkness,
this dude is so.
There was a shift.
I
was a different person.
He's just so extra, right?
And he's going to Gotham. He's literally going to Gotham.
You know people. He is. You know people in your life that are just extra. This dude's so extra.
He's so extra.
He is just so extra. The Jets are going to do what they got to do, and I get it. He's a big upgrade over Zach Wilson, but man, oh man, does this guy love himself some Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to drag things out. I don't want to make anything dramatic. I don't want to try to be the center of the story, you know what I mean? But let me go on Pat McAfee and talk for 20 minutes about how I went into the darkness and found myself.
Darkness, everybody!
And I was able to walk into the darkness, and there was one bar of Wi-Fi, and I walked out, and there was
just one bar of Wi-Fi.
There was this shift. There was this just life-altering, mind-shaping, body-twisting change within his world.
I knew what I had to do right then and there.
It's called a macho man, too.
This dude.
I love it. I love all of it.
I walked into the sunlight and learned all about me and my career. All right, guy.
I went into the darkness, Bruce Wayne.
I mean, come on,
I came out Batman.
My word. This dude, he is such a spotlight hound.
How do you not love it, though? I love it.
He tried for like the first 10 years of his career to be anything but Brett Favre. And it's so funny that
no, he's hippie Brett Favre.
Well, no, now it's, but now, but he's turned into that. Like he was so dedicated. He did everything he could to not come across as Brett Favre when he took over in Green Bay.
But Brett Favre was just a good old country boy. You know what I mean? The gunslinger. Aaron Rodgers. He's like, hey man, whatever. You know, I'm gonna spend a week on a hippie mountain in the darkness, bro. I'm gonna speak at a psychedelics conference. These aren't things Brett Favre would do. Brett Favre was riding a tractor and hunting deer in the offseason, not taking ayahuasca.
Same diva, supermodel, different makeup, bro. That's all it is. Different makeup. Aaron Rodgers.
But I went into the darkness.
916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. Of course, you can check out the website, sacktownsports.com. And our tremendous app, Sacktown Sports 1140. If you have any reaction to Aaron Rodgers, feel free to weigh in on Batman. Also in 90 seconds, our reasonable expectations for the upcoming King schedule.
Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports.
I am the League of Shadows. I am here to fulfill Ra's al Ghul's destiny.
Oh my God. Aaron Rodgers, man. Aaron Rodgers. Wait. We got some reaction YouTube. YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. TCG, extra perfect description of Rodgers. Yeah. Ryan in Sacktown, Rodgers is one pick away from being Favre's career doppelganger. I agree. Scooter 916 said, did y'all see the place he stayed in? It was a hotel room in the ground. No hardship. Yeah, I mentioned this when he was telling us how awful it was. Like, it was 300 square feet. It's a hotel room. When we first moved here, Kelly and I were in a room smaller than that with a dog for like a month and a half. Okay?
But were you in the darkness?
It had lights. This place had lights. It has working power.
One bar of Wi-Fi, or was it full?
One bar of Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi wasn't great at the hotel.
I say, you know, sometimes them hotel Wi-Fi signals aren't that strong.
My goodness, man. My goodness. Also, Mr. All Red Everything. I don't agree, Nick. Green Bay will not pay $59 million to sit him out of spite. No. I didn't say that they're going to sit him. I said they could make life very difficult for the Jets, that they can hold on to him beyond the draft and make the Jets life miserable. I don't think they will. I would not do that if I were the Packers, but they have the option to in the contract. In the contract, they can pretty much mess around for a long while here. So they don't necessarily have urgency to just pick up the phone and say, all right, let's get the deal done. And I have to imagine that's why this is taking a while. There's a lot of layers to this. I have to imagine that the Packers are trying to use all their leverage that they have. As Rami said, you know, how much leverage do you have? It depends on how much you want to push. If you want to push this until beyond the draft and you know, close to the summertime, and as we get closer to the training camp season, if the Packers want to do that, and again, I don't think they will, and I wouldn't, because that's just a distraction and a nightmare. But if they wanted to, if they just wanted to be jerks, if they wanted to be petty, they could be very petty with this.
We've already made the Brett Favre comparison. Everybody has, and it's easy to make. It's all right there in front of you. And it was a very similar situation where the whole league knew Brett Favre wasn't going back to Green Bay. And so the Packers had no hand. They had no leverage in any negotiations. They ended up trading that dude, I think, for a conditional fourth-round pick that could be a third or a second if Brett Favre reached certain milestones. So for me, that's where we start. That's the framework. That's where we start the negotiations if I'm the Jets. There's a real easy reference point to look at and say, hey, we've been here before.
I was also mentioning the Niners smiling right now. And there are a couple people saying, well, why would the Niners be smiling? You know, they've taken care of Aaron Rodgers. They haven't had much of an issue. That's not what I'm saying. You have one last team you have to contend to as far as seeding in the NFC. Unless Jordan Love is way better than any of us anticipate, Rodgers leaving Green Bay makes that team worse, i.e., you don't have to deal with them fighting for the one seed in the NFC. If they had a great season and you had a really good season, you might not end up with home field advantage because they beat you, you know, in the conference, and they end up getting the better seed than you do. So this is one less team that's in your way to be the one seed in the NFC this coming year.
Quick, get something off my chest as a Bears fan. I'll take 2 seconds. If Jordan Love is that good and they have 3 Hall of Fame quarterbacks back to back to back, I just quit football.
Yeah.
I'm just going to declare that right now. I just quit football.
Tap out.
Both frustrated and angry.
Tap out at
I'm
that
out.
Point.
I'm out. I'm done.
Right then and there. All right, let's jump to the Kings here. Cattles and Rami on a hump day. Hump day. First note, Trey Lyles suspended, will not play today.
Yes.
That's officially official.
For the altercation the other day.
Yes, for the altercation. So Trey's out for a game. Not that big of a deal when you look at it. I was concerned about maybe multiple games, but it's the Bulls. And you can absolutely survive without Trey Lyles for a game. With that said, Rami, we've done snapshots this season. We've gone through this Kings schedule, 5 games, 6 games, 10 games at a time. Mm-hmm. The last snapshot we took was 6 games, and it ended on Monday night with the Milwaukee game. You said you wanted them to go, I think, 4-2. I was okay with 3-3. They finished at 4-2. So mission accomplished. Fantastic job. Last snapshot, we were pretty much dead on. And we've done a pretty good job, I say humbly, with this stuff. We've been pretty close.
I keep setting a high bar.
Yeah,
keep clearing it.
We've been pretty close. So now they sit 40-27. Kings 3 seed, 1 game back of the Grizzlies of the 2 seed. And we got 15 games left. So let's look at the next 5 games, Rami. Starting today at Chicago, tomorrow at Brooklyn, then you're at Washington, then you're at Utah, and then you're back home against Boston. Looking at that schedule, next 5 games, how do you feel?
Really good, man. Really, really good. You know, coming out of the All-Star break, remember we looked at the schedule and we were like, man, this is tough. Schedule makers didn't do the Kings any favors down the stretch here. They got a tough schedule. And I don't know if we gave these teams too much credit, if these teams have just fallen apart since then, or if the Kings keep changing our perception of them and how good they are and what they're capable of. Because as we keep taking these little snapshots of the schedule, Nick, I keep seeing wins. I keep seeing a bunch of W's on the schedule for the Kings, including in the next 5, Chicago, you should win. Brooklyn, you should win. Washington, you should win. And Utah, you should win. Boston's tough, but you're back home for that one. Is that a back-to-back? No, that's not a back-to-back.
That is a back-to-back.
They play on the 18th and then, you're right, the 20th and then the 21st. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong 2 games.
It's okay.
So flying back home from Utah and playing the next day against Boston, that's tough. But like I just said, Nick, I keep setting a high bar. They keep clearing it. 4-1. They should be 4-1 in these next 5 games.
Sacramento Kings steady rising and rising and rising.
All right. Exactly. Easy, Perk.
4-1, Perk.
Talking about baking, get all worked up.
Eight biscuits.
I'm gonna go 3-2.
Oh, come on, Nick.
Yeah, 3-2. You feel good. I'll tell you why. Because yes, you look at the competition and you say 4-1 is possible. 4-1's definitely possible. Absolutely,
should happen.
5-0 is possible.
It should happen.
Here's why I think this is sneaky tough. You got 5 games in 7 days. It's a lot of basketball. 5 games in 7 days. I don't know how many teams this year have played 5 games in a week. 5 games in 7 days. On top of that, you have four road games in 6 days. Four games on the road in 6 days. That's a lot of travel and a lot of basketball shoved into 6 days.
Brooklyn to Washington is like a half-hour flight.
You have,
ain't nothing.
You have two back-to-backs. You play at Chicago, and then you play at Brooklyn, and then you play at Utah, and you come back home to play Boston. So two back-to-backs. So, again, 3-2, I think you're fine. 4-1 is more than possible. 5-0 is a shot. But I just look at it. It's a lot of basketball. It's a lot of travel in a short amount of time. And with those kinds of trips, I feel kind of like this thing could be a little bit sneaky and a little bit tougher than people might think just looking at who you're playing. And I get looking at who you're playing because inevitably that's
what matters.
Who you're playing.
Yeah, that's who you're playing.
But you also have to understand, like, and I always try to keep in mind the life of the NBA. And when you ask a team to play five games in 7 days, that's an awful lot. That is an awful lot. So we'll see. But again,
I'm sticking with my four.
You should. You stuck with 4-2, and you were right last time. I said 3-3,
sure.
So I'm a little more conservative than you are. That's the understatement of the world. All guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Don't forget, 916-339-1140 is the text line. SacktownSports.com is the website. YouTube.com/SacktownSports1140. Swing on by and give us that thumbs up. The NBA's decision on Ja Morant has been made. That decision and our thoughts coming up next.
Oh, you think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it, molded by it. I didn't see the light until I was already a man. By then, it was nothing to me but blinding.
Yeah, that's actually live audio from Aaron Rodgers' stay in the Hobgoblin, Hoblet, whatever.
That's the dude that owns the Darkness Retreat.
Yes.
When Aaron Rodgers came out,
yes.
That was.
Oh, you think darkness is your ally?
On the YouTube channel, youtube.com/SacktownSports1140. Ward is back on hat duty. He says Rami has the Kings hat on, guaranteed win tonight.
Yeah, Maglov magic.
Let's go,
baby.
Sacramento.
Mike Shinar,
I'm the real MVP.
Rami is rocking a Kings hat. What's up with Nick C's hat?
Hey, what is up with
that? I mean,
that?
What's it going to take to rock a Kings hat, Nick C?
What's up with that, Nick C?
So here's the deal. I have a Kings hat.
You do?
I was given a Kings hat.
You were.
It doesn't fit my head.
What do you mean it doesn't
I
fit
your
head?
I have an oddly shaped head, man. You know, like Sam Cassell's head has like a lot to the back?
Yeah.
I got a lot of back. You got a lot in the back.
Really?
Yeah, I got like a badunkadunk in my head.
You got
head.
An alien
Baby's
dome?
Got
you got
back.
A Sam Cassell alien yeah,
I got,
dome?
I got a Sir Mix-a-Lot back head right there. My anaconda don't want...
Your head's got a lot of junk in the trunk? Is that
yeah,
what you're
man. Yeah.
Okay.
He's got a lot going on back there.
So only very specific hats will fit your weird head.
My wife is here today because we're going to the airport after the show.
She's in the building?
Yes, she's in the other side of the glass.
Oh, hi, Kelly.
And she, I will not ask her to go on the air because she wants nothing of that. But she will attest, when it comes to hats, only very specific hats will fit my head. So when I put the Kings hat on, and I also have a cool hat that says 916 in the front. I tried that one on, and both of them look god awful on my head.
Can I have the 916 one?
I'll give them both to you if you want.
Oh yeah,
they just don't fit my head.
I'm a big hat guy.
Like I can't buy hats online. I've got to go to the store and try them out. Like it's very, very.
I have a large head.
It's a whole thing.
It's normally shaped and proportionate to my body.
I have a large head and a weirdly shaped head. I have both. So that's why.
Now, do you know, like, is there a brand of hat that you know will fit your head? Like, you can order it online, or do you have to go to the store and try on hats
I
on your
literally
weird,
just said that.
On your weird little head. You did?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. I said,
was I waving to Kelly at the time?
I said, I can't buy hats online. I
oh,
have to go.
I didn't hear. I think I was waving at Kelly at the time. You know, I'm easily distracted.
Robert Doherty, his head is all about the base. All about the base. About the base. No travel. Oh. Mr. All Red Everything says, I need a flex fit, size 8.5. I don't know what I need.
So you got to put them on your head.
Yeah. It's, it's a whole thing. Hmm. All right. Cattles
I never
Rami.
Noticed you had a Sam Cassell head.
This is why I just keep hats on, baby. Just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Cavs and Rami on a Wednesday. So Ja Morant, we know what Ja Morant's facing now, Rami. The NBA came out today. Sham Sharania tweeted that Ja had left the counseling. He was meeting with Adam Silver today. And the NBA has suspended Ja Morant for 8 games. Shams tweeted out that the investigation did not conclude that the gun belonged to Morant or was brought by him into the nightclub or was displayed by him beyond a brief period. I love that. Well, he showed the gun, but it was like, you know, 10 seconds or 15 seconds. Like, where's the line? If he showed it for like 60 seconds, is it a deeper suspension, a longer suspension? How did the NBA figure out the line? Like,
yeah,
it was just for a brief period he showed the gun.
If he pointed it at the camera and said, bang, bang.
Yeah. Is that an extra 10 games?
Extra like, what? 5 games? What are we talking about
to me,
here?
To me, it seems all arbitrary. Right. It's like Adam Silver put stuff in the hat and was like, all right, he only showed the gun for a few seconds. Pop. Oh, 8 games.
But you know what? I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it. I'm not here for a pound of flesh. I'm really not. I don't want the Kings to win the West because Ja Morant was suspended or take the 2 seed because Ja Morant was suspended. That's not what I'm at. At the end of the day, and this is what I've said from day one, I just want Ja Morant to get his stuff straight, man, and stop all this nonsense because, A, I love watching him play basketball, and selfishly, I want to keep watching him play basketball. He's very entertaining and a dynamic talent. And B, on a less selfish note, I hate to see anybody throw away the world when it's right in their hands. You know what I mean? Ja Morant could be the face or one of the faces of this league and have a great life and generational wealth, and he's going to throw it away over some nonsense, over flashing his gun at the strip club. It's ridiculous.
Here's what I think is incredibly weak by the NBA. And I said this earlier in the week. It was either earlier this week or last week. I said I had a sneaking suspicion that the NBA was letting Memphis handle the suspension.
Yeah.
And for the most part, that's what they've done. Because this 8-game suspension actually counts the games he has already sat out. So really, it's like a 2 or 3 game suspension from the NBA. Memphis suspended him for 5 or 6 games. So Ja can be back on Monday.
It's a slap on the wrist. It's kind of weak. And it's fine. I don't care. More importantly, did Ja get the message? That's all I care about.
And it's also, you know, it's interesting now because precedent is set. As I said, like, where do you draw the line? Like, the gun has to now be out for a certain amount of time. The gun has, like, it just, it's really weird. It's like, he had a gun, but it wasn't his gun. Okay. He had a gun, but he did not bring the gun. Okay. He had the gun, he only showed the gun for a few seconds.
The way I read that, Nick, and especially the language, did not conclude that. That tells me that they couldn't prove it. You know what I mean? That to me is what the NBA is alluding to there.
That's what they're saying. The investigation cannot conclude.
We have these guidelines. We have these rules. We have these parameters. You're not supposed to bring a gun into an NBA facility, onto a flight, blah, blah, blah. But they couldn't conclude that he had actually done any of that. So this was all they could do to him.
I get that part of it.
Right.
But the whole displayed by him beyond a brief period is just weird.
Yeah, that part of it is weird.
Because you don't have to have an investigation to know that he showed the gun. We all saw him show the gun.
Right.
So why does it matter how long he showed the gun for? It's like you either showed the gun and had, you know, conduct detrimental to the league by showing the gun on social media, or you didn't show the gun. It shouldn't matter if it was 5 seconds or 5 minutes. You showed a gun. So yeah. I just don't understand. And maybe Adam Silver will...
They could have left that part out.
Maybe Adam Silver will explain a little bit more in depth.
That could have probably been left out and he'd save himself some trouble. It makes sense to me. At the end of the day, it makes sense to me. And fine, cool. Let's get him back on the court and let's go.
It just all seems very strange. Very, very strange. All right, coming up, we'll take a quick whip around the Western Conference. Also, we'll slide in big deal or no big deal.
How big is it? No matter what, national pundits would tell you it's huge. Now it's our turn to tell you.
Big deal or no big deal?
On Cattles and Rami.
We'll get to big deal, no big deal in a couple of minutes. But first, I wanted to take a quick swing around the Western Conference, let you know what happened last night. So Denver lost at Toronto 125-110. And Rami, this is Denver's fourth straight loss.
Mm.
They are 5-5 in their last 10 games.
Huh.
And if you did not think that this was a big deal, if you thought that it'd be handled like, whatever, the Nuggets are the one seed, nothing to see, Well, Mike Malone disagrees with you, because here's what Malone had to say in the postgame.
Been a broken record the last three games. Two things jump out to me, Katie. One, when you expend so much energy getting back in a game, you have nothing left to finish. And two, who the hell are we to think we can play three quarters and win a game? Like, everybody we play is playing for something. And maybe we've gotten a little soft with success.
Ooh.
Now, we've been on cruise control for so long, number one in the West since like December 15th. Again, I just told our players, we've gotten away from who we are. We have success for a reason. And it wasn't the offense. The offense was a byproduct of the defense. The last four games were the worst defense in the NBA by far. If we want that to change, we have to have a hell of a lot more urgency. I think we're showing up thinking, hey, we're going to be all right.
We've said this before, Rami, on this show, but again, using the word soft is intentional, and it is no joke in the NBA.
That's calling your players out.
100%.
That's calling them out on the floor.
Yeah.
Saying there's something you need to fix here, and it's one of the most insulting things you can say about an NBA player. One of the greatest challenges you can lay down, I guess I should say. And look, man, you're probably not going to catch them for the one seed magic number for the one seed 20. You're probably not going to catch them for the one seed. Thank you, JJ. But I don't think that they can just flip a switch, which tells me, and I've been saying all along, I'm not counting the Kings out against anybody in the West. They can be got in the postseason. I think they were already more vulnerable than most one seeds and not as dominant as you see a lot of one seeds be in the history of the NBA, but they go limping into the postseason. That's not a team that can just flip the switch. They can be got in the playoffs if they don't turn this thing around soon.
Yeah, they're playing with fire right now. The Bucks, meanwhile, you were a Buck hater on Monday night, Kings fans, a Buck lover last night when they beat the Suns 116-104. Giannis, who is public enemy number one here in Sacramento yesterday.
It's so funny to me.
36-11 and
bum.
36-11-8 last night. The Bucks beat the Suns by 12 in Phoenix without Chris Middleton. Best team in the NBA. I've been saying it for months. I will stand by it. They're just really good at what they do.
Yeah, they are.
Monty Williams, meanwhile, was not happy about the free throw discrepancy.
He's got three free throws. And Drew Holiday is one of the most physical defenders in the game. He has three. Giannis has 24 free throws. It's ridiculous. There's no other way to put it. It's just our guys are fighting. DA can't play. You know, when a guy just runs into you the whole game, it's like we've dealt with this so many times with this team. And credit to him, he saw the way the game was being called. He kept doing it. But that's hard to swallow when one guy has, and this has happened a number of times when we played them. And so for me, it's like it's hard to tell our guys to keep their level of poise because that's frustrating.
Wah, cry me a river. With that loss by the Phoenix Suns, the magic number to clinch a top three seed is 11. Last time we checked, it was 13.
Oh, a significant movement.
Yes, sir.
Significant movement.
The Sacramento Kings going to break the curse.
The Suns are six games back in the loss column of the Kings. I like it.
Yes, sir.
By the way, you want to hold on to the three seed, because if you hold on to the three seed, you don't have to mess around with Phoenix unless you get to the Western Conference Finals.
Right.
So.
Right.
Try to stay. The three seed actually is not that bad of an
idea. I like
that
path. That's a nice path.
Not a terrible idea. Meanwhile, the Lakers beat the Pelicans 123-108. Here's AD.
I think it was very important for us just for standing purposes, tiebreaker purposes, and then just get back in the winning column. You know, this team obviously is capable enough of beating us, you know, as they showed before. But, you know, we knew this was a very important game for us, and we just came out and played that way. And everybody did. You know, we playing the right way, playing great defensively, sharing the ball offensively, playing together, and everybody's clicking on all cylinders overall. I think we did a pretty good job.
Don't look now, Rami, but the Lakers are two games back of being the sixth seed.
Mm.
You know what that means.
Mm, playoffs, not play-in.
Not
playoffs.
Only that, if the seeds stay the same.
Oh, Kings-Lakers, round one.
Mm.
Give me that.
And we know what Wendy said a few weeks ago.
Give me that.
So, possible first-round matchup against the Kings if the Lakers sneak into that sixth spot and you stay in the third spot.
Speaking of.
What a first round that would be.
One more magic number.
G1C would be popping.
Gave you the one seed, the three seed, to clinch a playoff spot. 9. 9 is your magic number to clinch a playoff spot.
The Sacramento Kings going to break the curse.
Going to the well, baby.
Yes, sir.
I am so proud of you that you were able to find a way to shoehorn your magic numbers into that
just
first
weave
five,
them in.
6 minutes.
Just weave them on in.
Expertly done, sir.
You like that?
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, let's jump back to the
game for a minute.
Let's jump back to the big deal or no big deal. So, speaking of the Kings, Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports here on a Wednesday, hump day, hump day. So the Kings' narrative, Rami, is shifting. It's been a big shift, a bigger shift than Aaron Rodgers shifting from when he left the cave.
When I came out of the darkness,
you really adopted the dark.
You adopted the dog.
All right, so. There's columns and articles and everything's being written about the Kings and, you know, hey, look, I was ahead on this one. I had said months ago that the Kings were the story of the NBA, and now the national media jumping on, which led to a tweet from our friend, air quotations, Carmichael Dave.
You love starting stuff, man.
I do, especially with Dave. I'm not sure what Dave's intention was. I will say that. But his tweet got me thinking. And his tweet was, Kings get on one in all caps, to emphasize, one little national TV game against the Knicks, and now they're the darlings of the NBA. Again, I don't know what the intention was. I don't know if Dave was complaining that they were the darlings of
or
the NBA.
Or saying it was a good thing?
Yeah, or like kind of just, I don't know what the message was that he was trying to get out there. But it made me think about bandwagon jumpers, right? And I've seen some Kings fans on Twitter and in YouTube like, oh yeah, now you're gonna be talking about us. Now you're gonna love the Kings. Now we're a great story. Rami, big deal or no big deal, bandwagon jumpers.
No big deal at all. You should want them. You should want bandwagon jumpers. The more the merrier. There's strength in numbers. Somebody was on my timeline a couple weeks ago talking about we don't want bandwagon jumpers. I was like, so you wanted Golden 1 Center to stay at 82% capacity? As they made a run to the playoffs? That's what you were looking for? You think that's a good environment to play in? Man, this is, first of all, this is how it works. I don't know why anybody is offended or surprised by the fact that team is good, people take interest. You know what I mean? This isn't a new thing. And both from outside and getting the love from the national media and from within and in the city of Sacramento and more people going out to games, more people turning on their TVs, turning on Sacktown Sports to hear the call right here. Your home for Kings basketball, Sacktown Sports, 1140. Like, I've heard this from almost every fan base that I've ever rooted for, talked about, covered, whatever the case might be. And I've never understood it. Like, this is our thing. This is our thing. It's a small little club, and we want to keep it a small little club. I don't understand that. I don't get it at all. I've never understood that mentality. I don't know about you.
Yeah, Javier says maybe Dave was saying it just took one game for people to like us. That's why I said I don't know the intention.
Maybe.
I don't know the intention of Dave's tweet. It just got me thinking about like bandwagon fans and how much the Kings are being talked about now. I agree with you, Rami. Like, I think it's a great thing. You should be thrilled that your team is being talked about. You should be thrilled that it is a great story that is, you know, deserving of the attention. And I'd also say, like, you really can't have it both ways. If you were complaining about not getting coverage and now you're complaining that you're getting coverage, well, what do you want? Like, what is the answer there? So I think it's all good. I think it's all great. You're the three seed. You're the best story in the NBA. There's a lot of things going right here in Sacramento.
It's a little harder to get tickets. I guess that's the one drawback. It's a little harder, more expensive to get a ticket to Golden 1 Center than it probably was before.
TCG says it's flattering. Bring on the bandwagoners. True G's know who they are, and we'll be able to appreciate the success that much more.
Y'all know who you are. You know, those of us that are new to the party.
Yeah, man. Like, to me, bandwagon means success.
Right.
The bigger the bandwagon, the more success.
I will say this. I went to my first Fish concert one summer.
Oh, you went to one of those.
And then Jerry Garcia died between that summer and the next summer, and all the hippies that follow the Grateful Dead, instead of being like, maybe we should get a job and do something with our lives, instead they were like, we'll just follow Fish. And then it was way too crowded. Everywhere I went, somebody was trying to sell me a veggie burrito. Like, I get it. I get
Did
it.
Did you try one?
It smelled bad. You know what I mean? Like, the crowds come with some drawbacks. I understand. The bandwagons come with some drawbacks. I'm just saying, like, big picture, it's better for everybody.
Well, there you go. Rami was able to shove that into the segment. I'm sure he feels very accomplished. Rami has a significant declaration to make. Find out what it is next.
Cattles and Rami. Cattles and Rami.
Sactown Sports.